God is good
all the time.
God is really and truly a good God. Right. So let me get this up. Right. It's a great privilege this morning for me to be able to speak to you, to share the Word of God, to encourage us in the Word of God. I know it's not easy being up here, but I love the challenge. You know, because God didn't give us the spirit of fear. He gave us the spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. And if I can stand here today speaking to you, you also can do it. But just allow God to use you. Just make yourself available, and God can use you, because God wants to use you. God didn't call us as spectators, but He called us to be participators. We need to participate in the kingdom of God for the building and the extension of the kingdom of God. Okay, this morning, I want to speak to you on boldness. I know we had a few, but I like the challenge. I love challenging, and I love to take up this challenge. I want God to use me. So, I want to ask one question. If the authority walking here this morning and say to us, I've received a complaint. You're speaking to people, you're teaching people the Bible, and you're speaking about Jesus. And we are asking you not to do so. What will you do? What will we do? Pack up church and go home and call it a day? Well, I'll leave that for you to think about. Can we have the clip up, please? I just want to show a little video.
Police have told the owner of a Christian cafe in Blackpool to stop displaying Bible verses on a TV screen because it's offensive and a crime. Jamie Murray says he was shocked when officers from Lancashire Police visited his cafe last Monday and ordered him to stop displaying the Bible text.
Just felt like a bit of an interrogation. They told me I was in breach of Section 5 of a public order offence by displaying material that could be deemed offensive to somebody, insulting or offensive. It disturbs me, actually, that we are approaching a state where people can be spoken to by the police, possibly arrested, and who knows what else, just for displaying the Bible in public. What's next? People coming, police going into churches and saying you can't say this or that.
The cafe is called Salt and Light, a quote from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Christian leaflets are available in the cafe, which also has links with a local church. Mr. Murray plays this set of DVDs on a TV screen with the volume turned down. It's a narration of the whole of the New Testament, with the text of the Bible appearing on the screen. But the police said a customer had complained that the Bible verses were homophobic. The officers told Mr. Murray that the Bible video breaches Section 5 of the Public Order Act. Mr. Murray is getting support from the Christian Institute, a national organisation that defends the religious liberty of Christians.
We're looking into what's happened to Mr. Murray. The police may well have acted unlawfully, in which case there could be grounds for legal action against them. But Christians need to be assured that reading the Bible publicly or displaying the Bible publicly is not of itself a criminal offence.
Okay. Right, that is on our doorstep, just down the road, Blackpool. Believers in Christ must be bold. Why is it important for us to be bold? Let's ask ourselves this question. If we are not bold, what are we? Because situation like this will arise. And we as Christians, we have to take a stand. It's either we take a stand or we run in hiding. And that's not what Jesus commands us to do. But let us look what happened in Acts. Acts chapter 4. I'm going to read from 1 to 21. Acts chapter 4. Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Cephas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to an account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stand before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Verse 14. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could see. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then confer together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Verse 18. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God, in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judge. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After four other threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. This is how Peter and John replied, because they were called and questioned, and they were told not to teach or preach in the name of Jesus. All of these events happened or unfolded when the disciples received the promised baptism in the Holy Spirit, as Jesus told them before his ascension. This event escalated after Peter and John prayed for the lame man to receive healing in chapter 3. When we as Christians, as believers, receive the infilling Spirit of God in our life, we receive power to able to demonstrate God's truth. Our life is completely changed. Our life is no more belongs to us, but it all belongs to God. And it's not us, but it's God who working in us. We as believers, all we need to do is to avail ourselves to God and let God use us. Therefore, we no longer have control of ourselves, of how we're going to do things, because we are sold out to Jesus completely. He's in charge. We no longer in charge. In this text, the disciples were preaching about Jesus, his death, resurrection, his death and his resurrection, people being healed, and the message of salvation. Due to that, about 5,000 men believe in the gospel, and the news spread rapidly. It even got to the attention of the authorities. The authorities weren't happy because of the rapid conversion of the people. So these are things going to happen when we avail ourselves to God and allow God to use us. This is what's going to happen. There's going to be chaos in our life. People are going to be upset. So let me forewarn you right now. And if you want God to use you, you avail yourself to God, look out. Look out. Trouble is coming. But don't be afraid. Jesus said in Matthew, "In me, you will have peace. But in this world, you will have trouble. But be of good courage, because I have overcome the world." Be of good courage. It also says, if any man be in Christ, he must suffer persecution. So I don't think it's an easy ride when people come to Christ. Anybody tell you that everything going to be easy, they're fooling you. Don't believe that. Trouble now start. But be of good courage. God promised, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, but I will be with you even to the very end." But that doesn't mean that you wouldn't go through hardship. It doesn't mean that you wouldn't get trouble, but you have to stand up and be strong and be bold. And you have to tell the truth. If you're a Jesus follower, you're going to upset people. It's not because of you or because of our good looks, but because we carry the name of Jesus. And when you carry the name of Jesus, you're offending people. And you will offend people. People are not going to like you. Even your close family, you're going to find yourself, the two of you going up the street. You'll have some arguments. You'll have some deep debates. But you will have to speak the truth. And nothing else but the truth. Peter and John were questioned by the authority, asking them, by what power or what name did you do this? We too will be asked, by what power or what authority we are doing these things, doing the things we do. He will be asked that question. By what power or what name we are doing the things we do? What will we do? What will we say? We should not be seeking a way to evangelize where everyone will like us and no one will ever get upset. The problem today is that we want the fruit without the fallout. We want the fruit, but we don't want the fallout. We want to see people being converted, but don't want any feathers ruffled or anyone get upset when they reject the gospel. Even in some churches today, this is what they would say. Guys, if you're going to win family and friends and influence people, you're going to have to tone it down a little. Round off the edges. Make the gospel more appealing, more acceptable, and less offensive for the modern mindset. Because we are living in the 21st century. But one thing to bear in mind, God does not change. The Bible says God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And so is his word. God don't change, and he will never change. God remain the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's not how it happened in Acts. Instead, many of those who had heard the word believe in Acts 4 and verse 4. If we want to be a Jesus follower, you will upset people because you are carrying the name of Jesus and being bold for Christ. It comes with a cost. Peter and John were in prison. Paul and Stephen were stoned. Jesus Christ himself was crucified for the offense of speaking the truth. So then, who is me? Who is you? The scriptures say, the servant is not greater than the master. If they prosecute him, they're going to prosecute us. So we can't escape There's no way out. Once the soul out to Jesus, there's no way out. There's only one way going forward. The Bible said, no man put his hands to the plow and look back. He's not fit for the kingdom of God. So guys, get your boots on. Keep going for Jesus. It will be worth it in the end. The race is not for the swift. The battle is not for the strong, but those that endure to the end. Don't look back. There's nothing to look back for. Look to Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of your faith. Faith in Jesus is what's going to carry you on. Believing, trusting, hoping in Him. And that will see you through. Then Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak. He spoke what was given to him by the Holy Spirit. He was not operating in flesh or self, but instead he was operating in the Spirit of God, because the flesh cannot please God. According to Romans 8:8 says, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So the flesh cannot please God. We need the infilling Spirit of God to enable us to be bold. We need the Spirit of God to help us to be able to stand up and say to people when they're doing wrong, you're wrong. Not try to compromise or try to win favor or be in the good book, get a tap on your back. No, we are not men pleasers, but we are called to please God. We will never ever able to please man. No matter what you do, you will never ever able to please God, man. Man will never be thankful or satisfied with what you do. So don't try pleasing them. If you try, you'll end up in trouble. Because something can always upset them. But the Bible says, when our ways pleases the Lord, even we and our enemies will be at peace in the gate. Not when our way pleases man, because we are not men pleasers. When our ways pleases God, even we and our enemies will be at peace in the gate. Amen? Don't sleep on me. This enables us to stand before rulers without fear or compromising the truth, but also to stand up and speak the truth boldly to the authorities. This is how we also need to speak as followers of Jesus Christ. Why is it important for us to be bold? It is important for us to be bold, to be effective in our witnessing for God. We can't be chickens and go there to the world, because the world can bark at us, or growl at us, and we go running. God don't want chickens. We have to be bold. We have to be strong. We have to be courageous. Because we're going to face the authority, the ones that have power. We will stand and face them. But we serve one that is greater than those authority. He's the authority of all authorities. The Bible said, they that know the God shall be strong and shall do exploit. So if you know the God that you serve, He's a big God. He's well able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think or imagine, because we serve a big God. He could solve our little problem, and He could solve our big problem. Nothing is too big, nothing is too small for Him to handle. But But we have to put our trust in him. We have to be faithful to him. It is important for us to be able to witness in the face of opposition without being fearful. It is also important for us to stand strong and carry on when we're being rejected. Because when we go to share the gospel, people are going to reject us. People are going to say all sort about us. You're going to be called names. Jesus, they call him, he cast out demons by Beelzebub. He's a wine bibber. Because he come to speak the truth. And they couldn't handle the truth. What the truth do? The truth shine the light in the dark area of people's life. And people don't like that. When you're living in darkness, you're living in sin. And sin is sweet. I can tell you that because I used to sin. Sin is sweet. And when somebody tried to come and to change that, try to take that sweetness away from you, you try to defend it. They tread in your territory, and you don't want nobody tread there. But until you get to know the truth that will set you free from that place to bring you to a place where it's better and is for life eternal, you will still fight. But you have to allow Jesus to be able to shine in that place. We, as followers of Jesus, need to carry that truth to be able to help people, to bring them from that place of sin to where God wants them to be, to have life eternal, to have a relationship with God, and to have fellowship with Jesus. What does it mean to be bold? Let's look at the meaning of boldness. According to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, boldness means confidence, fearless, and freedom of speech. This was one of the results of this discipleship in Acts 4:13. This is what we need to be bold as followers of Jesus Christ. We need confidence, and we need to be fearless, and we need the freedom of speech. And you can only have this freedom of speech when you have Jesus in you and you're depending on Jesus. Because Jesus says, stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made you free. He make you free to stand up and preach and to tell the truth. So we are free people. We're not in bondage. Christ made us free. So we are free. And free to carry the gospel. Free to speak the truth. And we need that. We don't need bondage. We don't need anything to hinder us or to keep us back from telling people the truth. And we should not allow anything to keep us back, because we are free people. We're not living in bondage. We're living in that freedom that Christ gave to us. What is boldness? Boldness is the biblical manner in which God wants the gospel to be given. We are not to develop our own methods based upon personality or passion. We are to open our mouths and unapologetically testify to the saving power of Christ. Biblical boldness for Christ is a fountain that bursts forth from a satisfied soul. Even when facing the authorities, Peter overflows with the gospel. referring to Jesus 7 times in Acts 4:10-12, concluding with this: there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Boldness springs from something that is happening deep inside of us. Jesus Christ has changed my life. I have forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life. Jesus Christ forgave your sin. And if you haven't received forgiveness from Jesus, you can receive it today too. Right? He changed my life. I have forgiveness of sin and the promise of eternal life. And you can have the promise of eternal life today if you don't have it. I have a peace that passeth all understanding that Jesus gave to me. I have a love for people whom I should hate. I have joy and strength I know nothing about. So, how can I not tell other people they can have that promise of eternal life, of that peace, of that strength that I don't know? Because you can find strength in Jesus to be able to do that. You could have that today if you don't have it. What boldness isn't? Boldness isn't obnoxious. It isn't rude. It isn't unpleasant. It isn't mean. It isn't cunning, crafty, or deceitful. It is convincing. It is fearless. That is what boldness is. It is gentle and it's loving. It is kind. We don't stand up and tell people the truth because we hate them. We stand up and tell people the truth because we love them. Because we know the truth. And we know where God brought us from and where we are today and where we're going. But they don't know. But because we love them, that's why we tell them. Jesus Christ didn't come and die on the cross because he hates us. He come and he died on the cross because he loves us. And he wants the best for us. He has our best interests at heart. But the world didn't see it that way. They think he hates them. So what we did, we crucify him. Brothers, when you tell people the truth, it's gonna cost you. It's gonna cost me. Sometimes it costs our job, it costs us our life, and it costs us so many other things. But be strong. Be strong. Remember, Jesus said, in me you can find peace, but in this world you'll find trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome it. We are overcomers. We also will overcome it. I'm getting there.
Be patient.
I'm going to conclude now. In conclusion, how can we apply these principles to our daily walk with God and witnessing? When we ask these questions or being told not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus, we should respond in the same way in which the disciples responded, according to Acts 4, 7-10. When Peter and John were asked, "By what power or what name did you do this?" This is how they respond. "Then know this, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead." So they use the written word. This is how we need to apply that principle. Not come up with our own ideas. That wouldn't work. Even Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil, what did he use? He didn't say, "Hey, devil, you know I am God." No, he used the written word. So we, as Christians, when we are faced with situations like this, we need to use the written word. And how can we use the written word? We need to know the written word. And how can we know the written word? We need to read the word. And when we read the word, we know the truth. And the truth will make us free and make them free also. So if we don't know the word, we can't use the word. Listen to me carefully. The Bible says, "Study to show yourself approved, a workman need not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth." If anybody tell you you don't need to study the word, you don't need to read the Bible, you're a liar. Don't believe that. Because the word of God is different. "Study to show yourself approved, a workman need not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth." We need to be full of the word. Full of the word, full of the spirit. We need it every day. It's a part of our life. The Bible says, "Man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Just like how you need your physical food, you need your spiritual food for the spiritual man. And if you don't eat your physical food, you'll get weak. And eventually you'll die. And the same, if you don't eat your spiritual food, you'll become spiritually weak and you'll be spiritually dead. So when you stand up before the official, when the devil tempts you, what are you going to do? "Hey, devil, you see my size?" No, that can't work. Speak the word. It is written. Speak the written word. When we ask, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then know this, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. There is power in the name of Jesus, and that name offends a lot of people. Even today, see what happened on that video? That man in the cafe, he didn't say a word. The word was just on the computer. The Bible was just there. And that's the living word. It's just the word speaks and it offends. The word reveals the life of that person who make that complaint. And they didn't like it. When Jesus come and he preach about the kingdom, Jesus come and he heal the sick. You know what they want to do? They plot to kill him. He come and he do good. And they still try to kill him. Who you think he is? They're going to say the same to you. They're going to say the same to me. But be of good cheer. Be strong. But Peter and John replied by saying the following: "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We as Christians need to respond that same way. When they tell us not to speak in the name of Jesus, we can't help. Because you know where God brought you from. You know what you experience. And you can be able to share your testimony where God brought you from and where you are today. And let them know that Christ is still living in you. Therefore, your light needs to shine before men, that men will see your good works and glorify God, which is in heaven. Believers must be bold. How can we acquire boldness? We as believers need to be in a constant fellowship in our daily prayer with our Lord Jesus Christ and spend time in God's Word. We need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit afresh each and every day in our lives. Just like how the disciples responded to the authority using the written word, we also must use the written word when we being confronted or being asked. Brothers, Jesus called us to be bold and courageous and stand strong and proclaim the gospel. Jesus called us. These guys, Jesus told them, don't leave Jerusalem. Wait there until they receive the promise, the Holy Spirit as the Father promised. And after his ascension, the Spirit come, they be filled, and Jesus tell them to go into all the world, in Judea, in Samaria, and the utmost part of the earth, and to carry the gospel. He commissioned us to do the same. And God wants to fill us today with his Holy Spirit so that we can go there with boldness and proclaim the gospel and carry the good news. He said, this gospel must be preached, and then the end will come. So we have a job to do. Not a job, a responsibility to carry the gospel. But we need to be bold. And I would like to pray for us today for boldness. We see how these disciples, God wants to fill us today. Just like how he filled the disciples, God wants to fill us today so that we can be bold and able to carry the gospel without being a chicken. Who would like to be bold? Well, if you like to be bold, I would like to pray with you. Can you come forward? And then we're going to close with a prayer. So come forward and let's pray. Let's not waste time because tea and coffee will serve at the back soon. So come forward. We won't bite you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this message. And we thank you, Lord, that you commission us to be bold and to be strong and to be courageous, Lord. So today, right now, Father, I commit each and every one of us here today as we avail ourselves to you so that you can use us, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit. We pray for that fresh anointing upon each and every one of us, from the least to the greatest, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you fill us afresh, fill us anew. We pray for that fresh anointing, Lord, so that we can able to proclaim the good news. We know it's not by might. We know it's not by power. But it's by your Spirit. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that you just touch Each and every one of us, everyone that's standing here today, we pray for a fresh touch, a fresh anointing, a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit for works of service. As we leave this place today and face the rest of this week, Lord, that we'll be able to stand with boldness and proclaim the truth to our workmates, our schoolmates, to our family, to our friends, wherever we go, Lord, that we're able to stand bold without being fearful. You said you didn't give us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and of a sound mind. So I pray, Lord Jesus, I pray, Holy Spirit, to fall afresh upon each and every one that's standing here and in the seat. Fall afresh upon us and fill us afresh, fill us anew. We pray for fresh encounter with you, Lord, fresh vision, fresh knowledge, fresh understanding. We pray for the freshness of Jesus to fill us, O God, so that we can go there and witness to others. Take the gospel to the lost. You see, you come not to call the righteous, but you come to call sinners to repentance. And if there's anyone here today that don't know you, I pray, Lord, that they will come to know you as the Lord and personal and indwelling Savior and Master of their life. I pray, Lord, that you will bring them into a relationship with you by helping them to accept the ransom you have paid on the cross of Calvary for their sins, deliver them from sin's dominion, and have mercy upon their soul, and receive them into your kingdom. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and praise God. Amen. Amen.